Hello and welcome to Podcastonomics. This is your host, Craig Hewitt from PodcastMotor.com. This is the show dedicated to the business of podcasting. Each episode, we feature a top-rated podcaster in iTunes from health, fitness, finance, and find out the things they're doing that are working today. If you have questions about podcasting, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line at questions@podcastmotor.com, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming episode. Okay, on to this week's show. All right, today on the show, we have Evan Brand from Not Just Paleo. Evan, how you doing?
Hey, Craig, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, for sure. Thanks for hopping on. So we were just talking a little bit before we started recording here. I love everything about what you got going on with not just the site, but the podcast, and you know how it's really talking to people on a different level. I think for me as an observer of sort of the health blogging, I guess you would call it, and that niche, it's a super hyper competitive area. And to kind of stand out from the crowd is pretty tough. I think you've done it really well.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's a lot of people try to talk down to people when it comes to health and make people feel powerless. And my goal is to just always empower people and be like, look, I've done this. I fixed myself, you know, and then I ended up going to school to be more credentialed to fix other people. But it's like, if I can fix myself, so can you. And a lot of the other business models out there are built on teaching people that there's only one way and this is the only way and you have to buy this certain thing to be fixed. And it's just not true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess for folks who haven't listened to the show or haven't been to your site, take folks back to kind of like how you got started with what you're doing with Not Just Paleo and kind of where it's led you to now.
Sure. Yeah. So coming up on 3 years anniversary here in a couple weeks, about 150 something episodes. I've accumulated over 3 million downloads so far. It's hard to get iTunes reviews. I think I'm up to about 200 plus international iTunes reviews. So that counts US and elsewhere. Started out just as an idea. I wanted to just tell people about health and talk about different subjects. I mean, for me, I started out just being a depressed college kid, and I was finding it very hard to get up and out of bed. So my energy was really low and my mood was poor. So I wanted to figure out, well, how does nutrition and supplements and all of these things that I was kind of delving into at the time, how does that relate to my overall health? And I just kind of started this rabbit hole. It's definitely like the Matrix. Once you get in, you know, you can't unlearn things that you learn and discover about the food system and things like that. So I just turned to the podcast to try to share that message with people and interview other people that, you know, are health experts and that are doing what I'm doing, whether they operate like a one-on-one coaching clinic like I do virtually, or whether they're people that actually have like a brick and mortar practice, things like that. So just trying to bring some of these topics that we're having behind closed doors and bring it to the public so that people can make themselves feel more productive. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to run your business, but you can't focus because you have extreme brain fog, that's going to significantly impair your progress and your business growth. So that's kind of my lens that I use, you know, in terms of helping out like entrepreneurs.
Sure, sure. So most of your customers are entrepreneurs then?
No, I would say about half right now. The other half are just busy moms, busy dads, just people that work 9 to 5s and they want to feel better and sleep better and have better sex and be stressed less than they are, things like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we, you know, as a personal note, I guess we took that road, my wife and I took about a year ago, I guess. And we have two young kids as well. And that was probably the biggest reason. It's not just, you know, so that we're around when they're older, but so that they grow up healthy and not crazy as hell, you know, like, I mean, we see so many kids that are just bouncing off the wall and have these learning problems and not to mention the long-term health problems that come from sort of chronic abuse of your body through diet imbalances. But, yeah, it's great. I mean, I wouldn't say that we're paleo, which I think is kind of like what you talk about. It's not just paleo, but sort of being healthy and a holistic approach to it, but, just sort of being smart about it. I think it gets you most of the way there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of why I called it Not Just Paleo, because I didn't want to limit myself. There's a lot of people, like, they make their whole business around just one niche or one little piece, but it's I don't know. I just don't think that's a great idea for longevity, because eventually you'll just get either bored or you'll just burn out. So I allowed myself to open myself up to anything, any topic, any discussion, which you've probably discovered listening to the show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, it's very smart positioning wise. But I also think it allows you from a business perspective to reach a bunch of different audiences that might just be kind of tangentially related to what you're talking about. Whereas if you focus super specifically on one thing, you're obviously just going to talk to one audience then, right?
Right. And the truth is, I mean, everybody sleeps, everybody stresses, everybody poops. So these are all things that everyone wants to know and they need that information, but it's just a matter of how do you actually reach those people? So that was, I guess that was kind of the struggle really, is you're trying to position yourself in a certain niche for people that are looking to get healthy, but in reality, everybody, even someone standing at the bus stop, could use that information, you know? So mm-hmm. bridging the gap is kind of the, I guess, the difficult part of the journey.
I want to come back to bridging the gap, because I think that's the big challenge with podcasting. But okay, so 150-something episodes, 153 episodes in now. Where does podcasting fit into your business in terms of marketing?
Yeah, so I would say it's a soft pitch, if any pitch really at all. I just provide the information. I don't have any sponsors currently. I've had tons of different offers for sponsors, but I haven't found any that really fit quite perfect. So I've turned down many offers. So, I mean, the only pitch is for the podcast is, look, if you're listening to this information, say you listen to my episode on, you know, how you can use adaptogenic herbs to help you deal with stress better, like I use personally on a daily basis, well, then let me help you design a little supplement protocol. So let's talk about it. And I give people the option to schedule a free consult with me at my website. And they can just, we'll jump on the phone or Skype for 15 minutes and we'll just talk. And I'll let them just vent or mm-hmm. just decompress everything that's up in their brain. There's a lot of people that have already started to research, but they're so confused because there's so much conflicting evidence out there. So my message is mostly the same every single time. It's like, okay, calm down, you know, slow your roll here, because everybody has 20 different things in their head that they think they're doing wrong or that they're doing right. And it's just, it's crazy. It's chaos because there's so many loud voices out there that are shouting nonsense that it just confuses people and it makes it much harder to find solid information. So I just say, look, here's what I do. This is my clinical experience. This isn't just theory. Let me help you. And that's really the only pitch. I don't really hard sell or do any type of super robotic voice introduction, like go to this website and buy this. There's none of that. It's just, look, here it is. Here's the info. Get help.
Yeah. Yeah. And the podcast is the only form of content marketing that you're doing now? I mean, you're not blogging and making videos and things like that, or?
Yeah, so I do make YouTube videos also. I just actually started. You should check them out if you haven't been able to yet on the YouTube channel. Like if you just search Evan Brand, you'll find it. But I'm doing some whiteboard videos now.
Cool.
Because I'm kind of a visual learner myself. Like I find myself watching YouTube videos far more than listening to podcasts these days. And YouTube's the second biggest search engine there is. So that's also another great place to be. Like if you're not on YouTube, you should be. Even if you are uploading your podcast, which I have not done, uploading all of your podcasts to YouTube. I've uploaded some of them, but not all of them. But I just have these videos of me on the whiteboard talking about these different health subjects. And that way people can see a little bit more and you're not having to take notes or something like that. So if you're just, I mean, now with smartphones, you could be anywhere. You could be at a Starbucks on your phone watching a video and you're getting greater education on health info and how to take charge of your health than you would if you took a whole college course. And you could do that in like 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah. So that's kind of my other route. And then the Instagram channel, it's the same thing. I post a lot of pictures of nature on there because that was kind of a huge part of my recovery. So there's several thousand people over there on Instagram that just kind of keep up with my nature photos that either I take or I curate from other people and give them credit and try to add something inspirational to it that tries to motivate people to get outdoors and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really powerful, man. I think that, you know, lack of connection, it's a tangent, but a lack of connection to nature really, I think, starts fueling a lot of the spiral that people get into. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to go back and connect, I think it really kind of sets your trajectory right.
Yeah.
For down the road. Yeah. Nice. So you mentioned the, you know, the sponsors not really fitting exactly right. Do you think a sponsor could fit right for your podcast, or is it something that's not going to happen?
I think there will be a time where I will have sponsors. It's just a matter of who. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I mean, there's a drink company out there. I just emailed them to try to see if they want to sponsor the show. It's a company called Rebel, and they have these tonic drinks where they have some different herbs and medicinal mushrooms in them. And I was in California last weekend for a health conference, and I was just burning the candle at both ends, traveling and being jet lagged and things like that. And I was drinking these drinks every morning, and I was completely revitalized. I was blown away at the quality. So, I mean, some company like that where it actually helps me, like a functional food or a functional beverage company or something like that, if they come across and they want to sponsor the show, you know, that's going to be something I would be down to represent. But a lot of the times they're just kind of goofy products that I'm not really interested in, like paleo brownies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a common thing that we hear a lot, is that people with really established and trusted brands like yourself are hesitant to bring on sponsors because they're afraid it's going to jeopardize their standing with their followers or their audience. Right. And I think you're very smart to be prudent about being hyper selective about the people that you would bring into your show and be part of your community. And I think it's a bit of a shame, though, that the onus is then on you to go find those people, and that there aren't more people with really high quality brands looking to be part of advertising on shows like yours.
Right.
I think it's a shortcoming in podcasting.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'm kind of a fan of a lot of different startups. You know, I kind of bootstrapped my whole thing. So I'm a fan of other people doing the same thing in other companies. So I mean, most of the people I'm going to find, they're under the radar. They're 5, 10, maybe 15 years away from being mainstream recognized. So, I mean, those people would never even have time to probably look out and find a podcast, you know? So it's a matter of me coming across them and kind of reaching out to them, I think, is going to be the way that a partnership will happen.
Interesting. So, you know, we have a lot of people that are just getting into podcasting that listen to the show. If you had advice for someone getting into podcasting specifically in the health or food kind of area, what would you tell them? I mean, I know we talked that it's kind of a long road to get to that critical mass that you need to where it starts snowballing a little bit. But aside from just sticking with it, what kind of things have you learned along the way to say, you know, if you can do these two or three things, you'll be setting yourself up for success down the road?
Well, number one is something I wish I would have done from the beginning, just for search engine purposes, is to have all of your podcasts transcribed. Because people are lazy and people are busy and they might not have time to listen to your show. I mean, I often debate whether I should just cut my show in half and make it 20 minutes instead of 40 or even an hour. Some of my shows are over an hour. Now, Joe Rogan, I mean, he's got a huge podcast and some of his shows are 3-4 hours long, you know, so I'm kind of in the middle ground there. And I guess it depends on the type of audience and the type of message you're trying to bring across. But if you get your stuff transcribed, you're going to have all of that text that you can put on your website where people can just read through it. And I'm guilty of going and looking at a transcription as opposed to listening to the podcast episode itself. So I would say that's number one. Number two, I mean, be consistent. I have to just add that in and be a little bit repetitive there, just because if you post up a show only when you get motivated, then you might never post a show. So I post a show every single Wednesday. There's maybe one or two weeks where I was traveling or something just got crazy where I haven't posted one up, but it's been every single week for 150 something weeks. So when you kind of frame it that way, it really sounds a lot better to somebody that you're kind of pitching your podcast to. And you have to just go with it. So if you need to get stocked up on a bunch of different episodes and you just set a whole day aside, or you just record 10 or 15 in a week or two and you have 3 months done, then cool, do it. But you just have to get the snowball rolling and you have to be on your own team. If you start beating yourself up and being negative, like, God, this sucks. I have 300 downloads. This is garbage. Look at all these top-ranked people. I'm so envious of them. just stop paying attention to them. Let's make that number three. Stop paying attention to other people and their success and stop being jealous and envious, because they have likely been doing something a lot longer, or they had a lucky break, or somebody shouted them out and got them a huge boost of traffic or something like that. You don't have to focus on what they did. Now, you could try to learn and model after them. What are they doing that's making them work, or what's making them tick, or what's making them succeed? You know, those are good things that you can look after other people for. But if you're spending your time just looking at what other people are achieving, you're taking away from the energy and the willpower that you're going to have to build your own thing. So at a certain point, you just have to get off your phone, get off social media, close that crap out, and shut your computer and just go in the other room. And, or, well, I guess if you're recording a podcast, maybe you need the computer. But for me, you know, I'm doing the video stuff now. I'm kind of putting my energy there because it's almost like brushing my teeth to do a podcast now. So it takes significantly less energy now than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I've gotten in that, which all these three tips can add up to that for you, when it just feels like you're brushing your teeth to do a podcast, now you can funnel that energy into other stuff like video, like I'm doing. So kind of a long-winded answer, but you know, the truth is you're only going to be as successful as you envision yourself to be. So let me break that down a little bit. If you're just beating yourself up, or you really have like a negative attitude about yourself, you have some confidence issues or some esteem issues where you feel weird about getting behind the microphone or behind the camera or something like that, you just have to let all of that stuff go, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of people in this world that are going to judge you no matter what. And that small percentage of people, there is an exponentially larger percentage of people that may love what you do, and they may be waiting to hear your specific voice and your specific lens of the world. So to just let a couple haters or a couple trolls shut you down, you know, you can't let that happen, because it will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really great point. I mean, one of the things that we coach people on is they have to work and think about and find their unique voice and what they and only they can bring to the podcasting world. Everyone has a thing and a perspective and an angle on a topic that is talked about as much as health and fitness, maybe. But I mean, you have an approach and an angle and a perspective that's unique. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that love exactly what you say. And if everybody can find that, then they're, not only is their show going to be successful, they're going to find, like you are, it's like brushing your teeth. It's like, you know, falling off a log, as my dad used to say, right? It's just so easy because it's who you are. You're not trying. You're not manufacturing it. You're not hyper-editing it or sort of restricting what you're saying, but because it's just you and it's what you have to say and it's you speaking from experience. And it's all those things that is really authentic, and the really authentic things come easily and they connect with your audience really well. So from a sort of business or success standpoint, is really good too, right?
Yeah, I would say number four, be yourself. It's it sounds tough. I recommend people check out the most recent podcast. It might not be most recent when this goes up on your show, but it was one with a guy named Jordan Harbinger. It's an episode, maybe 154 or something like that. They can look it up. Just look up Not Just Paleo. But we spent a whole episode. He's kind of a marketing guy, completely out of the health space. But we talked about how hard it is for some people to be themselves on the internet. You find yourself trying to be this avatar or fit into this bio or fit, you know, you have to like mold yourself and you're trying to like paint this picture of who you are and you're adding these accolades and these certifications next to your name. And it's really weird because some people get really fluffed up by it and then some people don't. So we spent a whole episode talking about how to just be a real person. I think that's kind of a good starting episode for people that are listening to this that may not be interested in health, just because I see all the time where eventually people hit this point where their ego gets so big that they start losing followers. And it's like, dude, what happened? You used to be a real person and now you've put this wall up and now nobody can connect with you. And It's a sad journey to be on, because that's kind of a slow death in terms of your audience and your business.
Yeah, I've been to two conferences in the last, say, 3 months or so, and it really is good at bridging that back and kind of bringing you home a little bit, is to meet people that, you know, like you and I are talking now, we stay in touch or whatever, we go to a conference together and meet, and then you expect me to be like I am online, quote, if you will, but then I'm like I am in person. So it knowing that I go to a fair number of conferences keeps me honest, I guess, is the simplest way to put it, to where I really try to be myself online and in podcasts and when I write and email and things like that, because I know I hope to meet most people that I interact with online in person at whatever sort of venue. But I think that's a nice way to keep yourself honest and keep other people's expectations of you straight.
Yeah. And I'm probably a lot more excited and energetic at conferences than I am on podcasts. You know, I guess you would even call it manic, maybe. I'm just running around, shaking hands, hugging people. I mean, it's such an experience that just pumps me up. So, but it's still me, you know what I mean? And then sometimes there's people you'll come across and they're not them at all. And you just feel this sort of energetic thing. It's like, whoa, it's almost like you have a magnet pointed the wrong way at another magnet. It's just like, something's telling me to stay away from this person. And you just have to kind of tune into that and get used to it, because it happens.
For sure. For sure. Awesome. Well, hey man, Evan, can you tell folks kind of where they can check out your stuff if they haven't already?
Sure. Yeah, they could just Google search Bing, whatever you do, just type in Evan Brand and you'll find everything that way. Or if you just want to go directly to my site, you could just type in Not Just Paleo. That's paleo.com. The podcast is there. Actually, a little marketing thing that I'm actually experimenting with that your listeners can pick up on. I was selling this book, my second self-published book, called Stress Solutions. It's a pretty geeky book about the different types of stress, like nutritional stress and how that affects your body, and emotional stress and things like that, and kind of supplements to help with that. I was selling that for $27 for a long time, for like the last year or so. And I just hit a point where it's like, how much does that $27 really matter to me, as opposed to just giving it away as a free gift and blowing people's minds with it? So it's now free back at the website. So as soon as they go there, they do jump on my email list to get it. But I don't spam the crap out of people, and they can get that ebook for free. So there you go.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. Very, very good. Nice. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for hopping on today. I sure appreciate it. And by the way, the Jordan Harbinger episode is number 154. So yeah, I'm a big fan of his and the stuff he does. So yeah, I definitely suggest people take a listen to that one.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of Podcastonomics. If you enjoyed the show today, head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. If you have any questions, shoot us a message at questions@podcastmotor.com, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming show. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.